Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. In this episode, we're headed to Wiltshire, one of the new hot locations for people leaving London for country pastures. Flexible working means that people who are moving out of London for a different pace of life and more space can now look further afield. The hotspots for London leavers used to be Hampshire and Surrey, but now Wiltshire is moving to the fore, and in particular, two historic locations, the cathedral city of Salisbury and the market town of Marlborough. These locations are relatively affordable if you're selling up in London, but still want to be able to commute 2 or 3 days a week, say. But they offer so much more: historic properties, community spirit, and great schools. The schools are particularly important to families who are looking for ways to be able to meet the cost of private education following the imposition of VAT on fees. Both Salisbury and Marlborough also have fine state schools. As the spring market gets into gear, people who've decided that this is the year when they move up or down the ladder will be wanting some inspiration and guidance. With me to provide both of those things are Dominic Agace, Chief Executive of Winkworth, and Simon Jacobs, who runs Winkworth's Marlborough and Salisbury offices. Welcome to you both. First to you then, Dominic. We know that a lot of people have returned to the office full-time, whether they wanted to or no. But for another group, and it's quite a sizable group, flexible or remote working has become like the norm. That's how they're working now. Could you give us some guidance on what effect this is having on the destinations that those who are leaving London are choosing now?
So I think, communication and transport links and trends driven by COVID have left us in a place where you're freer to choose where you want to live. As you say, people aren't, there is a push for a number of companies to come back full time, but people aren't generally coming back more than 3 days a week. And so they can travel further on those 3 days. So we're seeing that people are pushing further away from the city centres where their job may be based to realise more value in the properties they can buy. So the old commuter belts have expanded.
So how far out is now the commuter belt? Where's the furthest that you've dealt with somebody?
So I think a fair few people commute from Bath to London, which Bath, and then you hear of sort of Frome and those areas, which is sort of beyond traditionally, it was the sort of Surrey, Hampshire areas of sub 60 minutes was the sort of natural commuter belt. But now people are, you know, prepared to push to sort of 90 minutes or further. I have heard of people commuting from Yorkshire, but I don't think that's the norm. But really people are, if it is, you know, they can add up your weekly travel time and put it into 3 days, then England becomes your oyster.
So people will commute to London from as far away as York?
Yeah, exactly. You do get people. I mean, I think it's a very good train. 2.5 hours from York, I think. So, you know, that's if you're only doing that several times a week and you get to walk, you know, wander out into the Yorkshire Moors, then, you know, it's a lovely way of life for some people. So they're happy to do it.
So the perfect trade-off. Now, the imposition of VAT on school fees is a key factor in the market now. Do you suspect that this is going to encourage more families who would have once gone to Surrey or Hampshire, say, to go out to Wiltshire?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing at the moment is that is one of the factors. There are a number of factors that are kind of put pressure on people's living and the cost of living, and so they're looking at solutions to that, and you know, so they're pushing further where perhaps they can have schools that have greater outdoor space rather than the sort of a London school, which perhaps doesn't have a state school, which doesn't have the space or sports facilities of a country school, or where they can get sort of more value for money on their property. So, you know, one of the things that has happened is that this traditional commuter belt used to be sort of discounted to London living. It was always the case that you sort of bought your London house and you traded at one point and you bought your house in Surrey and you commuted in with your family based in Surrey. Now that cost is broadly the same. And I think if you look at a sort of Acton or Shepherd's Bush or West London and you look at a Surrey with a sort of Weybridge or Cobham, you know, those prices are, there really isn't a sort of discount between the London and the Surrey house. So to get that move where you know you cash in your terraced London house and you buy a detached house with a bit of garden or the like, sort of more suited to perhaps a bigger family, you know, you need to go a bit further.
So Wiltshire, that's our hot location. Any others you'd like to name?
I think when you look at you know, Dorset, people are coming from, as I say, Wiltshire's, you know, particularly popular because it's the next one down the train line. And yeah, I mean, I think broadly you just move the area of sort of influence out sort of half an hour and that will sort of encompass, you know, many, many counties that sort of feed into London now.
Wow, people are really travelling further afield. But before they do that, is there anything that they should bear in mind? Are you a town mouse who may dream of green pastures but probably should never live there? How would you know whether that's the place you should choose to live?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, Simon will tell us about the experience of the Biases, but I think it was always sort of known that people sometimes went a bit too far initially into the remoteness of the countryside and found that they, the cycle was that they moved back towards the sort of town or city of the county and for several years and then moved back to, there was sort of a three-part move to moving to the country. So I think it is perhaps wise to get to know the area well and in many cases rent. I mean, I've heard of many examples and of people renting for, you know, a period of time, building their community of friends. So when they take the plunge, they sort of have their own setup, you know, established. I've heard of people who, you know, rent the weekend cottage and they sort of go to an area and therefore it's an easy way of trialing it out. And eventually they'll find their lives migrate to wanting to be there more than London. And then they flip the London house and buy the country one.
So try before you buy, just in case you really, really miss that commute on the district line.
Absolutely. That and your Deliveroo options, perhaps.
Now, on a wider note, I've been hearing that this is a year when a lot of people who've put off moving for one reason or other for the last 3 or 4 years have decided this is the moment when they take a plunge. Is that what you're seeing in your offices?
Yes. I think generally we're seeing this pretty brisk start to the year. And I think, you know, residential property is a needs-based marketplace these days. There isn't this sort of vital investors or property entrepreneurs in the same numbers. So it is people moving for reasons such as children or families generally, I suppose, and life moments. So people don't want to hold off those for very long. And if there's a period where, you know, things are uncertain, and as we've had for the last year or so, then and people have held off, eventually people just want to get on with it because it's more than purely economic decision. It is about their life and moving to the next stage of it, whichever part of it that may be.
Good news then for those who've been hoping for one of those big family houses to come up for sale.
Yes, I think we've seen a number of properties come to the market in just sort of January were about 19%, 20%, we say, ahead of January last year. So you're seeing a lot more properties coming to the market. And as I say, I think costs of holding on to properties has gone up significantly, insurances and the utilities bills and the like. And so that's something that hasn't been the case for many more decades, really. So finally, there's a reason to make sense to downsize and perhaps combine with the fact that, you know, we've had this rental market with huge growth in the last few years. And so people want to help out their kids because, you know, they're stuck on in the rental market where they're very difficult to afford to save for a deposit. So, you know, if they can downsize and help their children as well, then all the better.
A year then when the market frees up.
Yes, I think so. I think it's been amazingly, you know, it's been, we sort of forget, the last 10 years almost now of various things going on. But we do have political stability and we do have, you know, we've gone past those years from Brexit, dare I say it, where we know it was driven by uncertainty. So I think we're set fair for you know, for a lot of people to be moving home.
Against that background, I'm going to turn now to Simon. We do kind of need a geography lesson here for those who aren't necessarily familiar with Wiltshire. first Salisbury, gorgeous cathedral city. How far is it from London? And what kind of properties are available? And also, tell us about the commute to London.
Salisbury is sort of 90 minutes from Waterloo. So it's a line goes straight down through Basingstoke and over down to Salisbury. It's about 130, 140 minute drive up the M3. So it's very, very accessible. I mean, Salisbury's city is on the southern end of Wiltshire. Wiltshire's a landlocked county, huge county. Salisbury in the south, Marlborough sort of very much in the centre east side, 9-10 miles to the west of Hungerford. Hungerford's just in Berkshire. So that's where the our two offices are. But Salisbury is a city that hasn't had a great rep in the last few years, thanks largely to Mr. Putin and Novichok. And it had a tough old time. This is back in 2018. But since then, it's got itself back on its feet again. And in terms of location, you know, London, as I said, 90 minutes away by train. But Southampton to the south, you know, literally half an hour. And the Bath, Bristol, 45 minutes, 50 minutes.
Beautiful city, though, with a gorgeous cathedral and a wonderful cathedral close around it.
Gorgeous. I think three or four copies of the Magna Carta are in the cathedral. 800-year-old city. It's a medieval city, so it was purpose-built. They moved from Old Sarum, which was up the hill, moved down to the river. And so it's on a grid, it's built on a grid system. So a lot of medieval buildings, lovely big marketplace. You know, it's got a lot going for it. Playhouse, race course, great schools. Great
so schools. Everything, you've got culture, you've got history, and you've got, I'm sort of thinking, some of the most lovely houses.
Amazing. I mean, so we go from, you know, the close, and it's a, you know, it's a large cathedral close, where we've got properties, anything between sort of 1.5 to 10 million in the centre there. But as we go a little bit further out, you know, two bed flat at the other end of the scale, 200,000 in the city centre. Three bedders at around sort of 1930s, three bed classic 1930s semi-detached or terrace house, sort of 400,000. So very, you know, affordable actually for those who are looking to come out of London. I think the other thing I would say about, particularly about Salisbury, is that there are two grammar schools. So there's a Bishop's Wordsworth, which is a boys' grammar school, and a Salisbury School for Girls, which is obviously a grammar school for the girls. So, which is rare in that part of the world, and people come from far and wide to get their children in there.
It's an engaging proposition. Right, now we're going to get into the car now, and we're headed for Marlborough. Tell us how it's different. More of a market town than a city, but also massively historical.
Yeah. So Salisbury, population of 120,000. Marlborough, population 8,000. So we're talking about a small, very small market town in comparison with the city of Salisbury. Bear in mind that Salisbury is the only city in Wiltshire. Swindon has tried to become a city, but has been told to go and get back in its box on a number of occasions. Anyway, so Marlborough, as I said, very much on the east side of the county, sits on the edge of the Marlborough Downs. It's a prominent feature, of course, is that there is Marlborough College is there. And young Prince George is destined for Marlborough, as obviously his mother was there for a number of years back in the day. So a large part of the town is taken up by the college, and obviously it's the biggest employer. But because of its location literally on the east side of the county, good access to London. So here we're talking by car, an hour and a half. By train, we're talking from Bedwin, under an hour.
And a most engaging high street.
Oh, goodness me. It's the widest high street in Wiltshire. I mean, if there's a drawback, there's no bypass. So there are five major A roads coming into the town. So there are areas where you are not on a road, on a major road, but it is a factor to bear in mind. And it has a tendency of pushing up prices for off main road housing.
So the price of admission to Marlborough is what? What could I get a small flat there for?
You'll be talking about under 200,000. Yeah, sort of between 150 and 200,000 for a 1-2 bed flat.
And a gorgeous house in one of the best roads?
Oh, a gorgeous house in one of the best roads. You're looking anything between 1.5 and 2.5 million.
Yeah. And Are you seeing some of those properties become available, some of the larger houses that you might want if you're leaving London?
Yes. So what we're finding is that, and I'm sort of going back to what Dominic was saying, which was really we're seeing a lot of baby boomers. So this is the cohort born between 45 and 63. And there are a lot of them. I mean, they're called baby boomers for nothing. And they are now all getting into their 70s and reaching the big 80. And they are now under some pressure, I think, from their children who are needing the money for either buying their own houses or their grandchildren's houses, and obviously education as well. So we're starting to see a lot of these four, five, six-bedroom houses. These baby boomers have been in for sort of 30-plus years. These are now starting to come to the market. And they were holding off and holding off. But I think with the pressure that their children and grandchildren are now under, because of all the factors that we've already discussed, we're seeing a lot more coming to the market.
So one of those houses, what kind of price would that be?
The ones that we're just talking about? Well, I mean, I've got a couple at the moment. They're ranging between 1.5 and, you know, 3 million, that sort of price point.
Yeah. Affordable then for anybody leaving London?
Yeah, definitely affordable, yes, I suppose. Yes. I mean, I'd be being a bit flippant here, but I think, you know, there are very nice four, five-bedroom detached family houses between 750 and 1.2. So that sort of price point, someone's selling a 3 or 4-bedroom house here in town, that's more than affordable.
State schools in Marlborough?
Yes, excellent. There's a very good school called St John's, which has quite a decent-sized catchment, which covers villages like Ramsbury and West Overton. These are very popular villages, and one of their reasons why they're so popular is because they have, Ramsbury particularly, has a very good primary school, and then it has it's within the catchment for St John's in Marlborough. And so you can actually go and buy, you know, a house for £1 million, put your children entirely through the state. And we're seeing a lot of people doing that. There isn't this, yes, there are places available. And one of the problems that a lot of people seem to have in London is, whilst there are good schools, there just aren't the places. And so you're being pushed out for your chosen schools in the London boroughs.
If I were a parent dreaming of educating my child at Marlborough College, what would be my chances of getting them in there?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, we are now at the situation. I mean, to give you an idea of cost, we're looking at somewhere in the region of 15,000 to 16,000 a term, plus VAT. Now, there is an option to Marlborough. So Marlborough College obviously is co-ed, but it is full boarding. There is no day facilities at Marlborough College, whereas Daunces, which is at West Lavington, which is about half an hour to the west of Marlborough and south of Devizes, there you've got a school which is owned by the Worshipful Company of Mercers, and they have a policy of 50-50 boarding today. And the day fees are considerably less than the boarding fees. And they also take them from 11. So you can have your child in primary from 4 to 11, and then move them into Daunces. And the day fees, almost half price of what you'd be paying to have your child boarding at Marlborough College, for example. And that makes a huge difference if you've got with the VAT as well, and if you've got more than one child, obviously.
It's a really attractive prospect. But are there some people who arrive there and don't really like it? Would it be better to try before you buy, renting, say?
And we do see that. There's no question at all. The problem always is there just is a huge shortage of available properties to rent. What we're finding, we tend to find with a lot of these London families, is that the pressure is to get their children into these schools. And of course, you know, there are certain ages where these children enter these schools and, you know, they are 11 or 13 or primary level, obviously it's 4. So what they're trying to do, I think, is a lot of them are moving down as their eldest child gets to 4 or 11, depending on when they want to get them into, if they possibly can. And of course, what they're finding is through their children and their children's school that they're then meeting other parents. And that's where their contacts and their new social group is really coming through their children.
The cost of renting in Marlborough, roughly comparable with London or cheaper?
It's very interesting. I would say it is cheaper, there's no question about it. But there just isn't very much stock. That's the problem. There just isn't very much.
Do you suspect that some people who were thinking of selling up might look at their family house with a certain amount of affection and rent it out for a while?
There is a bit of that. One of the problems, of course, is the cost. So you're maintaining, you know, as the owner, the landlord, you have got certain obligations to maintain the property. And a lot of these country properties, period houses, are expensive to maintain. So whilst the rent is great, you've even got to pay tax on it, and then you've got to maintain it. And that is a problem for people. There's no question about it.
Interesting issue there, the cost of maintaining a beautiful historic property. Yeah. But I think I need to ask some questions now of you, Dominic. First, prices in London this year, how are they going to perform?
So I think they'll move forward by a small amount, I would say. So above inflation. So I think you're going to say sort of 3 or 4%. They moved forward last year. And I think this year, by a smaller amount, I think it was sort of 1 or 2%. But, you know, conditions have improved and activity has increased. And, you know, there's been real wage growth and the costs of mortgages are coming down. So I think you're looking for a gentle increase this year in London property prices.
And the move upwards in Wiltshire?
I think the country is probably, particularly Wiltshire, which obviously Simon will answer in detail, but I think country has struggled a bit of late because of a sort of a hangover of COVID, where there was this mass migration to the country. And I think you're seeing, you know, in certain spots, you've seen some prices come down significantly. When I say that, I mean more your sort of, you know, Seaviews, Isle of Wight, Salcombs, these places which were sort of, you know, people rushed to. And you're seeing prices, you know, I've heard of sort of 15% off in some of those places off the premiums because there was such demand. That isn't the case in the more, should I say, rural property setting, sort of less holiday destinations. But I think you are seeing that there was that burst and it's subsiding a bit. And I suppose I'd say it's fairly flat probably in prices.
And the national trend?
I think the national is always interesting. Is the national trend so hard to pick because it is, we are a mosaic of different markets. So it's always easy to sound a bit foolish calling a national trend. But I think, I think broadly to say the overall picture is improved. And so on the basis that the overall picture is improved and we saw growth last year, I expect to see growth again this year. But I don't think there are the factors to look at it. As it is a needs-based market. It isn't as speculative as it was in the early 2000s. And so you're not going to see these price booms. I think you're seeing steady growth, which is probably fairly healthy, actually.
Thanks, Dominic, for that upbeat note. And that's just about it. Simon, Dominic, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. Thank you so much for your insights. And to you, Simon, for the wonderful geography lesson and the tour of Wiltshire. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.